We get lots of news out of the healthcare business these days. Even absent any kind of talk of healthcare reform, we've heard from hospitals for years now about how tough it can be to make a buck in the hospital business. And that's even for big hospitals with lots of patients. Ashland Community Hospital does not qualify as a big hospital. And it went through quite a time looking for a partner over recent years. Mission accomplished. Medford-based Asante Health System, which runs Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center in Medford and Asante Three Rivers Community Hospital in Grants Pass, is now the partner of the Ashland Community Hospital. Ashland Hospital now part of that chain with a new CEO in place for about a month now. Sheila Kloh is the CEO at the Ashland Hospital and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Sheila, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You had been in the system you worked for in Wisconsin for 15 years, wasn't it?
Close to 15, yeah.
And it looks like quite a success. And so why leave that situation and head for this new challenge?
Well, we were really looking for a new opportunity. Wisconsin is a great place to live, but it is a bit cold. And so we were looking for a little bit more better climate and wanted to make sure that I found an opportunity to take my experience running rural healthcare organizations and then also have an opportunity to grow and working at a larger healthcare system to be able to help grow that healthcare system. And
so is Ashland something of a hybrid then? I mean, you just talked about larger healthcare systems and rural health systems. Is Ashland sort of somewhere in the middle?
For me, it is. Coming from a population of about 3,000, Ashland's population of 20,000 is just whopping big. And so, but it is really still considered nationally as a rural healthcare organization. And so I've got experience in running rural healthcare, and I think I can add some value to this organization.
Is that a designation that's placed on the system by Medicare, Medicaid powers, that sort of thing? Is that what makes it a rural healthcare system?
It's really about the community, and they consider this area a rural area of the country.
All right. How long a process of interviews and all that stuff did you go through to get to the job at Ashland Community Hospital?
This was a pretty extensive journey. I was started back in April working with a recruiting agency that was hired by Asante and Ashland Community Hospital. Went through a number of preliminary interviews in Chicago and then had my first on-site interview in about end of May. Made it through that round and came out for a final interview in June and was offered the position at the end of June. So.
All right, and you got onto the job in the first week of September, was it?
First week of September, yeah.
Okay, so a while to make the transition for certain. But so the real big issue, it would seem, is that you're getting into a situation that is very different from the situation that your predecessor CEO would have been working with. So you got different partner to work with, and just a whole bunch of things have changed. So describe, if you would, some of the major challenges that presents.
Well, I came from an organization that was a small independent hospital and needed to affiliate with a larger healthcare system. And so I'm accustomed to that environment. And that's really the environment that Ashland Community Hospital is in right now. Small rural hospital going from an independent state to now working with a larger healthcare facility. The challenges for that will be learning how to work in a partnership and learning how to take advantage of all the assets that we have available to us. Going from we can make all of our decisions independently to now we need to think strategically together to make sure that we're doing what's in the best interest of the community and the region.
So you have to think as part of a larger system.
You do, yeah.
And so how often, for example, I mean, are there meetings, regular meetings between yourself and the CEOs of the other two individual hospitals in Grants Pass and Medford to talk about how to divide up duties, things like that?
Yes. I meet on a weekly basis with the executive team of Asante and then my colleagues from Three Rivers and Rogue River. We meet on a monthly basis to really start thinking about how can we integrate some of our services so that we can share the expertise and best practice between the three hospitals.
Are there times when you find yourself thinking back to the situation in Wisconsin? Because it was a different sort of situation in the sense you also had a not just the acute care hospital, but wasn't there also a residential care facility as well?
Correct. I had an assisted living facility as well. And then at one point in time, I also oversaw a long-term care facility. So a little bit different than the circumstance here. Having one hospital versus two, I'm really fortunate to be able to focus on Ashland Community Hospital.
So give folks who might not understand what goes on at Ashland Community Hospital, now Asante Ashland Community Hospital, what the lay of the land is, how many beds you have, what the focus has been in recent years, where the focus is likely to go as you not only move ahead with the hospital's natural progression into the future, but now get healthcare reform and all the other things that can help complicate your job involved.
Well, Ashland Community Hospital is a 49-bed hospital and has full acute care services, inpatient services, as well as a full emergency room, which is really the front door to our inpatient unit. We also have a surgical center, and so we keep pretty busy with inpatients as well as outpatients. And as we move forward, we're continuing to look at how do we develop our services to meet the needs of this community.
We are talking to Sheila Klo, the Asante Ashland Community Hospital CEO, on the job about a month now, and looking forward to the future here as part of the Asante Health System. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions about the operation of Ashland Hospital or what got to this point, where it moves from this point. Phone numbers on the exchange in the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782. Anywhere else in the listening area, 800-838-3760. And the email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, a small hospital with a community focus, and certainly with a community that really expects some things. Man, Ashland is a different kind of place, and people have joked about the cradle-to-grave coverage. You know, we got the hospital at one end of life, actually both ends of life, and
sure. Lots
of other services in the middle. People do seem to feel fiercely about having a hospital in Ashland in the first place and how this one in particular is managed. Have you run across that a bit in your month so far?
Yeah, I've been just amazed by the amount of community support that this hospital has. It's clear that this community wanted this hospital to be successful, and that will be an advantage for us going forward as we're moving through some of the challenges that we'll face with healthcare reform. There's a sense that they want to have their services here locally, and they want to have services that maybe are different than they can get at other hospitals. And so we want to embrace that.
So what kinds of services would Ashland Hospital, if there is a transition, you're likely to be providing in the future? I don't know if there's going to be anything you'll be taking off the menu of offerings at Ashland Community Hospital to push those off to the bigger Asante hospitals in Grants Pass and Medford. But tricky enough to make money in the hospital business, as we were pointing out in the intro here. Yeah. The smaller you get, it seems like the trickier. So you have to focus more on what? Outpatient sorts of services as time goes on?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great question, and one that I'm in the process of doing some strategic analysis. We're taking a step back and looking at what are the needs of the community and what are the needs that we're going to have to put in place in the future. And I anticipate having a strategic plan ready by the end of this year. And that plan will really give us a roadmap of what services we're going to provide, what our focus will be in the future.
That must be a daunting process.
Well, I actually think it's an exciting process, and one in which I want a lot of involvement from our physicians and our staff members, community members. I've got a number of listening sessions already set up, and we're starting to get that feedback on what are the needs and what are the opportunities we need to focus on.
Have there been any changes thus far in services provided? Anything that, for example, that Asante Rogue Regional said, well, this is stuff we already do here, so let's just keep doing this here a little bigger and better, and you guys stop doing it there. Anything of that nature thus far?
Not this at this point. Certainly there's some conversations around whether or not it makes sense to have all of the services provided or duplicated. But I think it's too early at this point to say what's the right answer.
There was that process that I'm sure you heard plenty about last year, the attempted merger with Dignity Health that ended up ultimately not happening. Were there any feelings in the community that needed to be smoothed over from that whole process?
I've only heard a little bit about the conversations around Dignity, and everything that I've heard so far, everybody's really focused on the positive aspects of being a partner with Asante. And so I haven't really heard any negative around it.
Between the natural progression in the healthcare business and federal and state healthcare reform, I mean, how different do you think, and granted, I know you're working on the strategic plan now to be done by the end of the year, but just as a thumbnail sketch, I mean, how different do you think Ashland Community Hospital could be 5 or 10 years down the road?
Well, I think with healthcare reform, we're all looking at what we need to do in terms of changing our service lines. In the past, you made money on getting paid for every service. More tests you provided, the more care you provided, the more procedures, that was your reimbursement. As healthcare reform goes in place, we're really seeing a shift to values-based, getting paid for outcomes and quality. And we also anticipate we'll get paid for population health management. And so we need to really shape our delivery system in a manner that will support how do we improve our overall health of our population.
So of the various corners contained within the healthcare system, are hospitals at something of a disadvantage because they are the places that tend to have the high-end equipment and the good gadgets and have to have certain levels of staffing and all that stuff at a time when we're really talking more about prevention and getting people to not get to places like that?
Yeah, I think hospitals are an area where we're going to try to keep people out of the hospitals, yet you will always have acute care situations. And so small hospitals, it'll be a challenge. You'll have fewer patients, but yet you'll still need to have the technology and the staff to be able to accommodate it. So it's a bit of a challenge for us.
So with the 49 beds that currently exist at Asante Ashland Community Hospital, any talk of either going up or down? And what's your general census at the hospital?
Average daily census is about 13 patients, so we have more than adequate space for patients. The area that likely we need to make some improvements in is our birthing center. Our birthing center attracts from far and wide patients, and so there's some talk about how do we improve that birthing center for the experience of the patients.
And can... within the constraints and confines of the way that Asante Health System is run, can Ashland Hospital be something of a regional draw, as Asante often positions Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center? I mean, can you provide services that are found nowhere else in the region, including at the sister hospital just 15 miles away?
Yeah, I believe so. Conversations with my colleagues have been in that manner, that we really do need to find out what's the right niche for Ashland so that we can attract patients and really look at a system, a regional delivery system. So, yeah, I definitely believe we have that opportunity.
I talked to a professional manager not long ago, and he actually was a former hospital CEO, and he was saying that one of the things that managers need to do when they get new to a job is paint a wall. Let people know that there's going to be some changes coming. So did you paint a wall when you got to the Ashland Hospital?
I've heard it as paint the lobby. So I haven't painted the lobby just yet, but definitely as we go through this strategic planning opportunity, we'll be making some changes that really set us apart from where we were before. And the staff is just so anxious, and so I'm excited about working with the staff to make some changes that are positive for the patients and the physicians and staff members.
How big a staff then at a 49-bed hospital?
Well, just about 315 staff members.
Which would makes you one of the largest employers in Ashland, correct?
It really does. Yeah, that's... we're proud to be one of the larger employers and don't take that for granted. We know we have a responsibility with that.
Is it possible with the affiliation with Asante then that employees could be basically based at one hospital like Ashland or in Medford and then move back and forth within the chain? Is that even... I don't know what constraints you might have legally or through labor contracts or anything.
No, that's absolutely one of the advantages of being part of a larger healthcare system is that you can share staff. One of the tools that is integral to making that happen is your computer system, your information system. And so one of the first investments that we're making in Ashland is we're going to be installing the Epic computer system, which is the same system that was just installed in the other two hospitals and the clinics. So we'll be able to share our information, but also be able to share our staff because we'll be on a similar platform.
Is there a bit of a learning curve with Epic? I mean, I know people not only who've had to get used to it, but also people who train people to get used to it. So I've heard both sides.
Yeah, and with any new computer system, there's a learning curve. But we'll have ample resources to be able to get our staff through that learning curve.
So and we're almost out of time here. I just wanted to get in a few more questions about just the future of hospitals in general, because, could you end up transitioning to a model where there simply are fewer overnight stays? Because, again, the focus is on making sure that people don't get that sick in the first place, that they require hospital care.
Yeah. I theoretically, where we need to go in healthcare is prevention and keeping people out of the hospitals. And then when they are in the hospitals, trying to have the right technology and standard practices to be able to get them out of the hospital as soon as possible. That's really what everybody's working towards. And I think it can happen.
Sheila Claw, what would you say was the biggest surprise upon moving into your office at Asante Ashland Community Hospital?
I think the biggest surprise of hearing all of the challenges that this hospital has gone through over the course of the last couple of years, how many people are just so excited about the hospital, how committed they are. The physicians are phenomenal in that hospital. So it's a good surprise.
All right. So you start off with a lot of good things in your favor. And when did you say the strategic plan will be finished? By the end of the year?
Yeah, end of the year. We're hoping to roll it out to our staff in January.
And how many people helping you with the strategic plan?
Countless. As many people who want to.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a very collaborative leader and want as much input as possible from our staff members, our physicians, our system.
Sheila Claw, 1 month on the job as the CEO at Asante Ashland Community Hospital. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You. Bottom of the hour on the Exchange. Here's Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 8th of October, 2013. It was on this day, 1956, the Yankees pitcher Don Larsen pitched a perfect game in the World Series, faced 27 batters, not one made it to first base. It is still the only perfect World Series game in history, one of only 20 perfect games in baseball history. According to Larsen, he didn't even know he would be pitching until he got to the ballpark. He'd had a disastrous game in Game 2 against the Dodgers, lasted only 2 innings, allowed 4 runs on 4 walks. The Yankees had been up 6-0 when Larsen took the mound in Game 2, and they ended up losing 13-8. So he was astonished when he came to the ballpark for Game 5 to find that the manager had tucked a baseball in his spikes. It's the birthday of the poet and author Blake Morrison, born in Skipton, North Yorkshire, England, 1950, author of the memoir And When Did You Last See Your Father? The science fiction author Frank Herbert, Tacoma, Washington, 1920, best known for his masterpiece Dune, which was rejected by 20 publishers before it was finally brought out by Chilton, a publisher who had been best known for publishing auto repair manuals. It's the birthday of the historian of the sinking of the Titanic, Walter Lord, 1917, in Baltimore. The book was A Night to Remember. It was a bestseller when it came out in 1955. And the novelist and short story writer Brett Lott, 1958, in Los Angeles, author of 7 novels, including Ancient Highway, and a couple of memoirs, Fathers, Sons, and Brothers, and Before We Get Started, a practical memoir of the writer's life. Here's a poem for today by Wesley McNair, The Rules of the New Car. After I got married and became the stepfather of 2 children, just before we had 2 more, I bought it, the bright blue sorrowful car that slowly turned to scratches and the flat black spots of gum in the seats and stains impossible to remove from the floor mats. Never again, I said, as our kids, 4 of them by now, climbed into the new car. This time there will be rules. The first to go was the rule I made for myself about cleaning it once a week. Though why, I shouted at the kids in the rearview mirror, should I have to clean it if they would just remember to fold their hands? 3 years later, it was the same car I had before, except for the dent my wife put in the grill when, ignoring the regulation about snacks, she reached for a bag of chips on her way home from work and hit a tow truck. Oh, the ache I felt for the broken rules and the beautiful car that had been lost, and the car that we now had on soft shocks in the driveway, still unpaid for. Then, one day, for no particular reason, except that the car was loaded down with wood for the fireplace at my in-laws' camp, and groceries and sheets and clothes for the week, my wife in the passenger seat, the dog lightly panting beside the kids in the back, all innocent anticipation, waiting for me to join them. I opened the door to my life. A poem by Wesley McNair, The Rules of the New Car, from Lovers of the Lost, New and Selected Poems, published by David R. Godin and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. And by LendingTree, where you can fill out one form and receive up to 5 loan offers at trylendingtree.com, NMLS 1136. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.